What's up, beer drinkers, and welcome to a special cold brew. It's our latest in our Tap That Takeover series. This time I sat down with Angelo from Steel Cactus Brewing out there in Gilbert, Arizona, and we recorded this on Sunday, April 7th at Tap That Downtown, located at 909 North 5th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85004. And Angelo and I, we did talk a few months back, and it was good to catch up with him. And, you know, we talked about how Steel Cactus has been doing since then and some of their plans for the future. And then we got a little on the personal side a little bit later on, talking about sports and I think video games and everything. I don't know. We talked about, and then afterwards, after we were done recording, it was the end of the Women's National Championship game, Iowa versus South Carolina. So he and I sat there and finished our beers and finished the game. And we were both pulling for Iowa. South Carolina won. They were the better team. However, Caitlin Clark is probably the best women's college basketball player on the planet. So it was good to watch her in her final game. Too bad she couldn't win, but hey, she's going to have a lucrative career in the WNBA, right? All right, so a little shout out to Roshim for setting this up. He's the owner of Tap That Downtown, and this was his brainchild, and I'm having a good time. We got a couple of great breweries lined up for the next couple months, so just stay tuned and you'll hear some great stories about beer. All right, don't forget to follow us on Untappd, search Cold Brew Podcast, and also on Instagram. Follow Tap That Downtown on Instagram. They have every first Friday, they have a takeover, takeover, and this month of April was Steel Cactus. That's why I talked to Angelo, and don't forget to follow Steel Cactus on Instagram as well. Steel Cactus Brewing out in Gilbert. All right, without further ado, it's time for a special cold brew. Oh, man. So how you been, dude? How's Steel Cactus doing?
Great, man. We're just kind of getting our next groove here to get the next level with getting distributing out there more.
And oh, wow.
Just got a big tank that we just got here, an 8-barrel tank. So it's going to help us kind of kick off some of our new ideas. We're looking at focusing on our big four here.
What are the big four?
We've got our Val Vista, which is a hazy double IPA.
Ooh, okay.
Really nice. And then we've got the West Coast. We call it Recession Relocation.
So I remember that one.
Nice medium balanced West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of Michigan roots there in it too. Kind of little similar notes to maybe a Two Hearted in some ways.
Okay.
Then we've got our sour, which is Mother Pucker. So that's a prickly pear sour. That was a big hit here the other night when we did our tap takeover on Friday night. And then we've got our Steel Cactus Light. You know, you got to have a nice light beer. It's a Kolsch style ale. So, okay. Yeah, people seem to like, you know, it's getting hotter.
So those are your four you're going to try to distribute?
Yeah, that's the four, core four that we want to distribute and then kind of do some smaller one-offs in mm-hmm. the tap room. And then always looking for some opportunities to do a collab with another brewery or business to do something special. You know, we got a chance to do a nice one with the Whining Pig. We had our Mexican lager. We called it Pork and Cactus, and it was pretty fun. And it was a good hanging out with those guys from a few of their locations and getting together. So good group of people.
I've been to a couple of the locations. I haven't met any of the people who run it, though.
Yeah.
So. But that's great. I mean, yeah, when I heard that you were doing a tap takeover here, I'm like, wow, production must be up a little bit because you need that product to get it,
yes,
to be able to give it to someone.
Exactly.
So that's good. Is that something that you're steadily growing, or has that always been like...
Yeah, that's always been the goal, is to, you know, first year we kind of had the tap room going with a lot of different small batch test beers, trying to find our groove and, mm-hmm. and who we are and our beer voice, as you might say. And then we got to really kind of settle on those for right now is what we like. And then we've got probably four or five seasonal options that we're going to bring in as well. But, you know, to be consistent, you know, focus on something that you're good at, get the four down there, and then, you know, go from there. If you, you know, see all the other successful breweries, you know, they got those one or two really good beers that they're known for.
Right.
So, you know, that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah, even the, in the big scheme of things, Arizona breweries, even though they might seem like a big deal, like here in the Valley, they're not like really big deals elsewhere.
Yeah.
But they're still even copying those, the bigger ones, you know, as far as consistency, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Trying to find what you're good at and then do it the same every single time, right?
Yeah, it's like music. You got to get that one hit wonder, and then it lets you bring in a little more of your own style that's going to, you know, people are going to recognize you and want to try you. So.
Speaking of music, I saw you guys had a karaoke party a couple months back.
Yeah, we've been doing some karaoke on Thursdays just to, like, mix it up and have some fun. We've had some live bands in the brewery.
Oh,
I think
nice.
It's a great place to showcase some local music without, you know, too much restrictions. You know, they can just kind of do their own music and have some fun. So that's been great. You know, it's all about, you know, getting some events together and getting people to want to stop by for something more than beer, whether it's a food truck, or, you know, game nights, things like that. But, you know, we at Steel Cactus want to really, you know, beer is our main focus.
Yeah.
So that's the experience to come in and have a beer inside the brewery. We've got our back brewing area cleared out with some tables now for special events that you can, you know, kind of just be inside the brewery having a beer. That's my favorite experience when I go out to breweries. So.
Yeah. Are you guys kid friendly? That's
yes.
like a that's a big
oh,
hot
yeah.
button issue in
totally.
The beer community.
We've got a lot of local families that kind of can walk up there, you know, get the stroller, get the kids on a bike, and just walk on up there. And that's a lot of fun to see when you get some families together. We've got some games. We've got room for some kids to run around a little bit.
And, that's good.
And dogs, too. We love
dog friendly. That was my next question, too.
Yeah, we love having dogs there. We've got, you know, water bowls, and we've got a couple regulars that have some awesome animals they like to bring in. So
yeah, you got to start putting them on, taking Polaroids, put them on the wall or something.
Yeah, that's true.
The dog board.
That's a good idea.
I've seen that before. Not too many breweries do it, but I've seen breweries that are dog friendly. You know, they take a snapshot of the dog and pin it up there.
Yeah, that's fun.
They got those new little Polaroid cameras. I don't know if you see them. They come out with
little
like
singles.
The 2 or 3 inch pictures. But anyway, just a thought.
Hey, I'll take any great idea I can get.
They involve the community, because that's the way I see it, is you involve the community. They're like a part of your brewery, and they keep coming back. And, hey, that's my dog up there. Hey, pulled up their little chihuahua. That's you right there. People love their dogs, man.
Yeah, speaking community, too, we're looking to do something soon in the next couple of weeks with the Facebook group Gilbert Dads. It's a newer group from one of my buddies, Ryan Meeks. He's an awesome real estate agent in the area, and he's got this cool Facebook group that we're trying to put together that's kind of based off of one from our neighborhood. I'm in the Power Ranch neighborhood, and it's Power Ranch Dads, and we want to do one for Gilbert Dads, and he started that up, and we want to do a couple events with the brewery, too. So, you know, we love getting in touch with the community, and we've done some charity donations as well for some events, and just kind of being a part of that.
Yeah.
We're looking as well to maybe get some of the School of Rock bands in there as a space for them to play and practice with. So,
oh, wow. Wait, they have a School of Rock in
they do.
In Gilbert?
Yeah, they do.
I had no idea. Yeah. I just watched the movie the other day with my daughter.
I love that movie. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I like the... I love the fact he, in the beginning, when Jack Black got kicked out, he couldn't let go of the whole rent ordeal. The Legend of the Rent?
Yeah.
was way hardcore. I don't know. I'm a Jack Black fan.
Oh, yeah. He's so funny.
Yeah, even though, you know, he did that song in the Super Mario Brothers with about Peaches. And my daughter thought it was the greatest thing. I'm like, well, have you ever seen his other stuff? This like pales in comparison to. But
oh yeah, my daughter knows all the words to Peaches. So
yeah, me too, and then, mine too, and so does. And then we watched Leo the other day, a totally different movie, the Adam Sandler cartoon where he's a lizard.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knows all the songs on that one too. I don't know, like they just came out like a month ago. You already know all the songs,
funny.
Like verbatim. Kids, man. I mean, were you like that when you were a kid? Did you remember like every?
I was too busy outside playing around, man. We had BMX bikes and we were digging in the dirt, and you know we didn't have time to watch too many movies. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, there's more accessibility too, as far as you know, they can watch any movie at any time these days. Yeah. These kids, and then I used to be outside with me and my brother with the. You know, whatever, Hot Wheels or G.I. Joes or something, making up our own.
Definitely
making our own cartoons.
Rocked the Nintendo a lot, though. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still play, man. I still play PlayStation. After we're done here, I'm going home playing PlayStation 5 and drinking beer.
Hey, that sounds like a great Sunday, man. I'm jealous. I got to get to the brewery and do some cleaning.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's all about cleaning, man, with the breweries, huh?
Yeah, you know, your sanitation and keeping your equipment in good condition is really important. You know, we know how expensive this equipment is. We know how important, you know, keeping clean beer is. And we just got to be on top of it. And a lot of brewing is the setup, you know. Mm-hmm. What can you do ahead of time that's going to make your life easier that day you do brew? So, you know, a couple things I'm looking at is, you know, just some automated water and power, you know, options. So, you know, I can get up at 4 a.m. on my phone and click a few buttons and get my water heating so that I can just kind of get in there and jump in and start, you know, doing it. But, you know, when you're working with your team, you know, you got to just look for those areas. You can get things a little earlier, so.
You know, the one thing that I saw the other day, I was doom scrolling Instagram. And I saw them washing the outsides of the container, the vats and everything. I'm like, I never thought of that. Of course, of course you clean the inside because that's where the beer rests. Yeah. But clean the outside too because you never know what's growing on there, right?
Well, and you want it to look nice. You want to keep it polished. It's like your car or your truck. You know, you got a nice, nice car. You want to keep it clean. So you know, having your equipment look nice is. You know, when people want to be in there, especially at our place where you can kind of hang out inside the brewery, want it to
see it,
look good. So
yeah, that's true. And but I was just thinking more of like you don't want anything contaminated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
you never know where the contamination
can come from anywhere, and you just got to be ready to have that. You know, what's nice about the inside of cleaning equipment is they have something called a CIP cleaning place. Mm-hmm. So it's a special nozzle that goes in the top of your tank, and you can just basically run that for, you know, however long you need to with the right chemicals, and it does a lot of the work for you. So it just takes some time, but the outside, you gotta, you know, get a little elbow grease there to get that going.
Get all the corners and nooks and crannies and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to the you've mentioned the yeast, have you ever tried the spontaneous fermentation?
Wild stuff, not too much really, because it can be a little dangerous because, you know, that once that gets in your brewery, you got to really be careful.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know,
probably hard to get out, huh?
Yeah, you can do some cool ships. You can do some different things, I do a sour beer. I do a more of a controlled environment with the kettle sour.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ideas out there to get a little funky.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not quite there yet with our brewery, but I've done a few things in the past. You know, I've tried to, as a home brewer, you know, steal some yeast from some of your favorite beers and try and recreate some clones and things like that, you know.
Or what about Pruno? to make your own Pruno?
Yeah, no. Yeah, stick to what you know sometimes. But I like to experiment. You know, it's fun, with different flavors. Yeast combinations, hops, you know, different additives. Beer's gone beyond the Reinheitsgebot, which is the, you know, German purity laws for sure, especially in the U.S. And we love to experiment, you know. There's all kinds of things going on here. So.
Oh, yeah, cereal, snack cakes, all that stuff. It's crazy. Have you ever tried any of that crazy food at a...
I've tried the beers, yeah. I've had some, like, Captain Crunch, Randall, you know, IPA, or some, you know, fruited gummy beers, sours, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, back in the day, we used to just take a Zima and pop a Jolly Rancher in there. That's how we got the flavor, but now it's getting pretty crazy. But, You know, we got some of those juice beers now, like Drekker does. It's like it's more smoothie than it beer,
yeah.
But hey, they got it going on. You know,
smoothie
people
sours.
Love it. I can't deny that it doesn't taste great. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if it's got fermentable yeast too, it helps with the a little bit. I would think the gummy bears would be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, or even like the mentioned Jolly Ranchers, that's like hard candy, or it's just like Belgian candy thrown in there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And melt right away and then give you some flavor.
Yeah, I prefer, for me, I like a little more of the darker flavors, stouts with, you know, coconut or coffee and kind of a little more, you know, bitterness and full flavor. It's kind of a little bit more my style when it comes to adjuncts. You know,
I was listening to our old conversation on the way over because I didn't want to risk asking the same question over again.
Right.
But one thing that I forgot about that you mentioned, and it's just like, oh, I got to ask him about that again, is the, was it the Pirate's Breakfast? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. That have you tried that one again?
Yeah. I haven't done it again, but I have thought about it, though. But that was really cool because what I did was I took fresh coffee beans from a local coffee place and then actually aged the coffee beans inside of a rum barrel.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I put the coffee beans in there for about a week and then pulled the beans out and then added the beer. And then that really gave like a lot of the oils from the coffee beans kind of got inside the barrel.
Yeah.
You know, there was some stray beans in there a little bit too, you know, but.
that doesn't hurt
anything. And then putting the stout inside there, it really turned out amazing, I thought. So I still have one can left. This probably 3-4 years old now, but.
It's almost perfectly aged.
Yeah, we'll have to bust that out for some special occasion. But,
yeah, that's right.
You know, you think pirates, what do they need? A little coffee, they need some rum, you know, that's what they get for breakfast, so.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Their grog, right? It's just like watered down rum.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
Like that. So there you go. But yeah, that was of all the things we talked about, I'm like, oh man, that sounds so great. I hope he's tried it again. You got to do it again at some point.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Maybe that'd next year for Strong Beer.
Yeah, that would be fun, I bet. We can all dress up like pirates and
that'd be awesome.
I think we'd get lots of people over there.
Did you go to Strong Beer this year? I didn't get there, so I wasn't sure if you had made it.
Yep, we were there. We had some really great beers. We had our Imperial Stout. We did a little marshmallow s'mores version of it.
Oh,
which
sweet.
Turned out really well. People love that. That's the 11.5
nice.
Primordial Black Hole is the wintertime specialty we do. And, you know, it's got a nice kick to it. It's a little boozy, but not overwhelming. I'd love to next year put that in the barrel as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Didn't get a chance this year, but we did a little bit of a s'mores. Marshmallow chocolate version of it, just very subtle. I don't like the too crazy, oversweet in my stouts, but yeah, it wasn't a pastry stout, but it had a nice little tinge to it that everybody really loved. So
that's cool.
It was a lot of fun.
And I saw you over at Copper State.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to
that
mingle.
That was a busy one, man. We had a huge line the whole time, and we had a nice group of some volunteers and people helping out. And I think we were just getting those samples out so quick that, you know, we ran out of beer, you know, pretty quickly. You know, we had a few kegs for sure. And, but, you know, great, great feedback. And a lot of people, you know, that one's close to the brewery as well. So it was kind of nice doing that. And seemed like it was way busier than last time.
Yeah,
so.
No kidding, man. They might have to think about getting
three times busier.
They might need to get a new spot. To be honest.
Maybe.
I don't know what else to do.
There was points on the, you know, we were lucky. We were on the other side.
Yeah.
But where there was breweries on both sides and then it was a little more of a narrow middle way, they had the lines were just melding into each other and there was nowhere to walk through. So.
Right, yeah.
But, hey, that's a good thing. We got a lot of people loving beer out there drinking. And
that's right. That's a good problem to have.
Yes.
I would
think.
Yeah. But I heard they sold out. That's why it was so packed, because they did sell out of all their tickets.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, I can't wait. I hope I get invited back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was great. Glad to see you there. You know, it's good. You know, you're a big part of the brewing community.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And you're not making the beer, but you're talking about it. You're bringing people together. You're spreading the word. You're getting people excited. And, you know, I'm glad to get a chance to be on here again with you to, you know, share my thoughts and for people to get to know Steel Cactus and what we're all about.
Yeah, and I really love your beers. What's that one with that you had like all the hops in it? What was that one called?
Oh, that was the that was like a we got a bunch of sample hops.
Yeah.
You know, as you get in a brewery and sort of like, oh, this will be fun. It was called Earthly Branches.
That's so, it, yeah.
We kind of took all those sample packets and added them at different times and kind of doing something like a, you know, 120-minute, you know, 90-minute style beer. And, it turned out pretty good. It was very interesting. I mean, if you're into hops, I mean, people liked it, but it was a little complicated on the palate, but...
I wouldn't call it complicated. I would say it had a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
And if you sat there and just like really ruminated on every single flavor, mm-hmm. take you a while. But at the same time, it was enjoyable because you'd be like, "Ooh, I taste this and I taste that."
Yeah.
And unlike, I mean, I'm not saying I shouldn't really denigrate any other IPAs, but sometimes an IPA just has one or two notes, you know.
Right.
And this one was just super complex, almost mm-hmm. like as complex as like an old style European beer or something.
Yeah.
So I really dug that one.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun idea we come up with. We like to get a little crazy and, you know, experiment
some stuff. But I thought it was anything but crazy. I thought it was genius.
Good.
Yeah, it's a thin line, I guess, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? Let's pause, get another beer, and then come back.
Hey, that's a great idea. We'll see you guys in a minute.
And we are back.
Yes.
Just like that.
Full glasses.
We're here at Tap That Downtown. And you guys did a tap takeover, and see, how am I going to phrase this? I like the concept of this place because, and I've said it before, maybe my listeners get tired of hearing it, but it gives you a tactile feeling. It's pretty novel that you can pour your own beer.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a place like this?
I've been to one other one in a different state. I can't remember where, but
okay.
It's kind of fun. You know, you get there's no pressure. You're up there. You get to, you know, really choose and look what you want, and kind of being like a kid in a candy store where you get to scoop your own, you know, candy, and you get that chance to just like really look around what you want, and then when you're ready, if you just want to take a sip, hey, that's, you know, you want to go back get a full glass, you want to try a bunch of things, you know, you've got those options. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
We had a blast here. I was up here on Friday. So much going on. You got the Final Four. You got the Phoenix Suns game. You got First Friday. You know, this place was just booming. So I was down here with my new sales rep, Jake, and him and I got to, you know, explore a little bit of downtown, make some good connections. And then we got here and just had an amazing time doing some sampling, just talking up the brewery, getting people really excited. You know, a big hit was the sour, which I saw you just filled up on, the prickly pear.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I dig it.
It's Mother Pucker, you know, it's a fun name, and, you know, it's got a nice little edge to it. It's not extreme sour, but it's got enough to really get those juices flowing, and it's got a slight hint of the prickly pear flavor, which I love, and it goes with our theme of Steel Cactus. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not very sour. It is sour. You could tell there that it is sour, but it's not like overly sour. You're not going to get that gut burn later on.
Right.
And the sweetness to it is almost like, and you mentioned Jolly Rancher, and that's what I was thinking. Like you dropped a few Jolly Ranchers and it dissolved in there. And it's not overly sweet, but you could still tell there's a flavor in it.
Yeah.
Like almost, you know, like a candy-like flavor.
I'm all about, you know, more of a real touch to flavoring with just subtlety, you know. I think, you know, let the beer still be there and then have some subtle flavors that can dance around your mouth instead of just kind of over the top, you know, too much, too sweet, too sour.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I work with my taste buds. So, you know, that's what I try and deliver, something, you know, for everybody. There's some sour houses there, some triple sours, there's some crazy for those people that love it. But, you know, I wanted to have something a little more approachable for everybody, but still going to deliver that punch you want if you are a sour fan. And then be approachable for somebody who's just getting into sours that they're going to be able to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. No, I dig this one because I'm not a big sour fan, but there's every once in a while I find one. Oh, this one's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this has got to be in that category for me. This is in the upper echelon for sours for me anyway. Great. But you're right. I mean, it's subjective. A lot of people love them. A lot of people want that big punch in the face. So more power to
it. Yeah. Some people like spicy food. Some people like sour beers. It's, you know, it's all, that's what's great about beer is such a variety that there's something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's subjective. You know, some people could say something's horrible and another person can just love it. So that's what's great about it.
Yeah, totally agree. And like you mentioned, the women's championship is going on as we speak right now.
Oh yeah, I had to get on the side of the TV or the side of the table where I could watch the TV a little bit just to check in. But
I might have to put my because I can stream it on my phone. I'll just put it on my.
Right now it's 55-65. I was down.
Okay.
I'm rooting for them. They're a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
I'm in Michigan State guy, so I'm a Big Ten fan.
Yeah, I put money on Iowa to go all the way, but like right when the tournament started.
Wow!
Just because I know in a tournament format, you sometimes one player could take over a game and just win it.
Totally.
And Caitlin Clark's the best women's basketball player right now in college. So, but then as soon as South Carolina won, I kept smashing refresh until the line came up, and I put money on South Carolina.
Hey,
so I got money on both sides.
Hedge your bets, man.
It's not even a hedge because either way, I'm going to.
Oh,
it's a profit.
Extended, you know, preseason bet like that, you know.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So, yeah. On this one, I'm good.
All right. You're buying the next beer then.
All right.
For
fine.
You win.
Good. I know you're from Michigan and.
Yeah.
Are you ready to talk about the NFC Championship game yet, or is it still too raw?
Oh, my gosh. It was rough, but, you know, so proud of the team, you know, and just something the fans have been waiting for a long time, and we all got a big taste of what can be.
Right.
And I don't think it's a one-year fluke situation.
It's
a growing force that, you know, is going to be around a while, and I think that's more exciting for the fans than just – you know, having a Cinderella story one time, get somewhere close. I think having like a winning program that, you know, we can get behind for several years is what I'm excited about.
Yeah, I mean, even the preseeding season, you saw it at the end of the preseeding season.
Yeah.
And in before last season, everyone came out and they were like, oh, the Lions are going to win the North.
Nobody's ever said that. You know?
And I'm like, hold on, let's just see it happen first. Because like you said, it could have been a fluke. But no, after 2 years in a row, or 2.5 years, or 1.5 year, I should say. After 1.5 years, you could see that it's something that's going to be around for a little while anyway.
Yeah.
They got that five-year window. Every team's got that five-year window. So.
Yep, you got to rebuild. You get young talent.
Yeah.
And we'll see. So it's exciting. You know, it was, you know, Dan Campbell's just a gritty coach with a lot of heart. And he pours that into his team and – you love hearing his speeches, and you love hearing his pregame and his winning game winning speeches to the team. It's just it's fun for me as a fan who's been there through all the bad times to see them do something great. So it was a tough loss when they were up so much, and
but it's a good lesson though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Take away the lesson and bring it back next year. Yeah. I was at the game.
Oh wow! Nice.
And I think I've told you I'm a 49er
fan.
Yeah. And I'm still not ready to talk about the Super Bowl loss.
Well, we can talk about NFL conspiracies because, I think that stuff's real. There's too much sports betting involved that you never know. There's too many abilities to sway the outcome of the game with the referees and NFL and NBA. And it's just, it's crazy.
Oh, you want to talk about conspiracy? What about that charge call that they gave on, what was it Angel Reese or no. When Iowa was playing against LSU.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
who knows, man.
Especially with the college, I think it'd be a little bit more pervasive. But
my craziest stat that I saw was how Kansas City has never had a holding call in any of the Super Bowl games when they were the most holding called team.
in
last
the regular
year
season?
In regular season.
Shit.
Come on.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they didn't hold. They
finally got it all together just for that.
Everyone knows that there's holding every game or every play. It's just whether it gets called or not.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to some sports betting podcasts, and one of the guys was going to start talking about the ref's stats. Like, does this ref call this many penalties per game or per home team or per away team? Or is something to look at, you know?
Yeah.
Start fading the refs.
Totally, man. I get it. They should have some kind of, you know, the fans get to call the fouls and, you know.
on replays.
Would that be great?
On replays, because, you know, they couldn't do it during real
right,
time.
Right.
But on replays, there's enough. Everyone at home, get on the app. You know how many people get the app? You know how much marketing they
could
get from
that? Could be
the
next big idea there.
All the free apps, all it is just a marketing tool for everybody.
Hey, maybe on the UFL or one of those other side
Oh, yeah, the
hustle.
UFL. Oh, man.
But we love drinking beer and watching football at Steel Cactus. So, you know, we got to talk sports because that's a big part of it.
Now, do you just watch the one game, or do you put on the Red Zone, or
yeah, we like to have a few different games on, you know, when we can, and you know, if somebody's got a team they want to support, you know, bring in some jerseys, bring some friends in, and let's do it, you know.
Oh, right on. What about baseball? Are you a baseball fan at all?
Yeah, definitely Tigers. Obviously, you know, my team. I'm, you know, I love, you know, hockey. I love baseball, football, basketball.
It's been
a little tough for the Pistons lately, but,
right.
But yeah, I'm excited. We had a fun time here in Arizona with you know, the Cactus League going on. That's always a lot of fun.
That's
gotta
right.
find my way to get into that maybe next year somehow. It's great to have all the sports that are happening actually down in Arizona. There's a lot of kids' sports that are in town as well, which is great because of the weather. I love sports.
Yeah, the spring training's got to be one of my favorite times of the year around here. I've grown to love it. I always go to at least one game. I actually got to go to one game this year. I wanted to go to more, but as my listeners know, my daughter had surgery like during her spring break. Usually when I go, I take her, but you know, she had a procedure done, so she was out of commission, and I was just like focused on her the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's what good dads do, though, right?
Yeah, try our best, man. That's all we could do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And but yeah, just the whole going to the game, and just it doesn't count for anything, but at the same time, you're out there in the sun and the smell of the grass and and have the beers.
Get some roasted peanuts and some beers and, you know, sit back. It's great.
I was at Camelback Ranch this year. This is the only one game I went to. It was a White Sox game. They were hosting the Mariners. But the Dodgers share the stadium. And so they have Dodger dogs there.
Oh, nice.
And this guy came away with a Dodger dog with chili and cheese on it. It looked like a heart attack in a bowl, but it looked delicious.
Right.
It looked fucking amazing.
That's the best part about the stadium food.
Yeah, stadium food. Are you going to any games this year? Are the Tigers coming to town this year?
I think so, yeah. They usually have a game or two. I haven't checked the schedule yet, but, you know, I love going out to the Diamondback games when I can.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
Bring the family.
Yeah, I looked it up, and the Giants are playing all weekday games this year in Arizona. So that's not – that doesn't jive well with me with my schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need a weekend game. But, oh, well, it is what it is. I'll go next year.
Yep.
But did you hear about the proposed new stadium for the Coyotes?
Oh, yeah.
In Scottsdale?
That'll be crazy. Yeah, and then they were trying to get something done, right, with Tempe, but that didn't go through. So, yeah, it'd be great to get a new stadium for hockey.
Oh, it looks awesome. It looks like an arena plus an amphitheater for concerts and, like, a bunch of shopping and everything.
Yeah,
I hope they come through, yeah. I want to go see the Sharks.
Is that going to be up towards the casino, or where was that supposed to be?
It's up on – it's actually Phoenix, but it's North Scottsdale Road and 101.
Oh, okay.
This was way up there, like way above Scottsdale. Technically, though, I think the city, it'll be Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
And it just looks amazing. The proposed – what they want to do to it, it looks cool. And I just – speaking of stadiums, I just drove by State Farm yesterday, and that Vi Resort's almost done.
And oh, the, yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, and they have all the roller coasters are there and
yep,
everything.
Yep, I can't wait for that to come up. That'll be fun to take the kids there.
Yeah, how old are your kids again?
Well, I got the 10-year-old daughter, and then now my new baby, she's 6 months already, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just starting to hit all those, you know, events, rolling over, the almost crawling, eating, starting to eat, all that, so... Yeah, she's always got a smile on her face, so just it's great.
Oh, your 10-year-old's going to love the theme park.
Yeah, we love going to that stuff. She gets crazy.
Yeah, is she a roller coaster girl?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Last time we went to Disney, we did a few of the bigger ones, and she loved it. And then we go on some kind of adventure stuff. We take her to rock climbing right by our house. Is this really cool indoor rock climbing place called Alta, and you got these like auto belays, and I've done it too. They just you hook yourself up, and you can just climb. If you fall, it catches you. And
oh wow,
get a little adventure going for you.
It sounds like a lot like my daughter. She loves rock climbing. She loves climbing anything.
Yeah,
and she loves roller coasters too. Yeah, and Disney. She wanted to go on Matterhorn Mountain over and over again. Like oh, my bones are hurting. Let's go try a different one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait for that, man. Kids, they bring it out. Now, is your daughter, what does she think about the whole brewing thing?
She thinks it's cool. Like, yeah. You know, we go out, you know, I've always gone out to breweries and go grab a bite or go have a beer somewhere. And, you know, it's kind of family type places. And, you know, she knows what it's like when beer's being, when it's being made. So, you know, if we go somewhere and you can smell their brewing, she's like, oh, it smells like they're brewing the beer. So,
that's cool.
You know, she gets to go and hang out there once in a while, and it's fun. Yeah, it's, you know, when you look back, if I was a kid and I got to go hang out in the brewery, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you say that now as an adult.
But, yeah, I just definitely, you know, I don't drag her there if she doesn't want to, but if there's something fun going on, she's always, you know, grabbing the kids' games or doing something else. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
My daughter likes to, if I buy a variety pack, she'll go and grab one and then pour it and ask me which one it is.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I taught her how to pour beer. So every once in a while, she wants to pour my beer just to see if she still got the knack.
Heck yeah.
But
I don't know.
Let me smell it. And she's like, it smells like beer. Every single time. She's like, let me smell it. It smells like beer. I'm like, yes, that's because it is a beer.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. But I don't know if she'll be into beer like I am, but she knows I'm into beer, so I think that's why she wants to know a little bit about it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
anyway.
Fun. Kids are always interested in what dad's doing, you know?
Yeah, right? As long as it's fun. My daughter thinks I'm boring most of the time, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, Angelo, thank you again, man, for meeting up and especially coming out here, having some beer. Awesome. This mother pucker's great.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, man. Yeah, we're just kind of keep those beers coming out. We're trying to get into more places. We love the downtown area because there's a lot of people that push local and want to see the local.
Yeah.
And we want to be those local guys that are in here making a name for ourselves and representing, you know, Arizona in the craft beer world, which has just got so much potential. It's growing so much. And, you know, we're finding our voice, and we want to start speaking a little louder. So I'm glad you give us the moment here to talk, and
of course,
we're going to keep doing that. Yeah.
Anytime. We got to do this once a year at least.
Exactly. That's
awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Cheers, man.
All right. Salud.